It's good to have you here again today. And yesterday I told you that God is power. Who is God? God is power. This is who Jesus said that God is in Matthew chapter 26, verse 64. Let me remind you of the words of Jesus. Hereafter, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power. Jesus said this to the Jewish high priest close to the time of his crucifixion as a way to describe himself. Jesus is the Son of Man, and notice where he will be seated, at the right hand of power. And we know from other biblical texts that Jesus is right now, as we speak, seated at the right hand of God the Father. But here in Matthew, Jesus uses a different name for God. He gives God the title name, Power. You'll notice when you have your Bible with you, the power is capitalized. Now, the NIV Bible uses the term Mighty One, but the word power is the better word choice in translation. Everything Jesus tells us is true, and so now we know that God is power. And why is this of interest to us? I'll tell you why. Come back with me to Romans chapter 1, and I'll read just a portion of verse 16. This is Romans 1 in the first part of verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. The gospel is how God makes us holy, and so we're defining what the gospel actually is. Four words describe it perfectly, and the first word is power. What is this word power that the Apostle Paul uses, and what does it mean? Before I tell you that, just keep in mind that the same word for power that Paul uses in Romans 1:16 is the word for power that Jesus used to describe God the Father in Matthew 26, verse 64. Jesus and Paul use the same word. And now let me tell you the meaning of the Greek word the Apostle Paul uses here for power. It's the word dunamis. Dunamis. And even as you listen to me pronounce this word, you might guess an English word therein. Dunamis. Doesn't the first part of that word sound somewhat like the English word dynamite? We get our English word dynamite from this Greek word dunamis. Power. Dunamis. Dynamite. Dynamite sure is powerful. And what the Apostle Paul is saying is that the gospel is the power of God blowing up within the lives of those who receive it and believe it. How does God make us holy? It's like he takes a stick of his dynamite, his power, and drops it into our souls and lights the fuse. Kaboom! Bang! The power of God explodes within us. And again, this is in the life of a person who receives the gospel and believes it. And let me talk about that for a moment. In order for the power of God to be set off in your life, you must receive the gospel and believe the gospel. To receive the gospel means you have heard it clearly and you understand what it means. Some of you think you have received this gospel when you have not. And that is going to become obvious to you this week and in the weeks that follow as I take you through Romans 1, verses 16 through 17. As I will talk about soon, there are sadly many false gospels circling around the country today, and many of you have heard those. But if you accept those to be genuine, then you are still missing out on the true gospel, found here in Romans 1. And so I ask, have you received this gospel? Have you heard it clearly, and do you understand what it means? If you have not, then the power of God is not active within you. Second, do you believe this gospel? Others of you have heard the true gospel described in Romans 1, verses 16 through 17, but you have not believed it. You have rejected it. Maybe you have even heard the gospel all of your life, growing up in some church somewhere, but you still do not believe, and yet you find yourself listening to God Is. Well, I am glad you are here, and I invite you to stay with us daily as I describe for you the gospel of God. I pray you will all believe it at least by the time we are done with these verses, if not before. Bottom line, if you do not believe this gospel, then the power of God is not active within you. The gospel must be received and believed. I think you understand what I mean. Now, what I want to do is to give you four implications for when a person receives and believes the gospel. And all of these four implications are related to this word power. Let's begin with the first one today and get into the second one also. Here's the first implication. First, because the gospel is the power of God, people who receive it and believe it will never be the same again. The gospel results in a radically changed life. Think about dynamite. When dynamite explodes, does it leave everything the same? Let's say the government decides a new road is needed, but there's one major problem standing in the way. It's called a mountain made of solid rock. The most useful path of the road is through the mountain, but how are the people constructing the road supposed to lay down pavement through solid rock? Well, they have to blast the rock away, of course, and build what we call a tunnel. Once this is all approved, out comes the dynamite. The workers pack a bunch of that dynamite into the rock, step way, way back, and push the button to send a charge down the wire into the dynamite. Kaboom! The rock splits apart in 1,000 different directions. The rocky mountain does not stay the same. There is radical, dynamic change going on. Where once there was no hole, now there is a big hole. Put enough dynamite power in there, and now there is a hole straight through to the other side through which the tunnel can now be built. So how do you know when you've received and believed this gospel? How do you know that God is making you holy? Well, your life has been completely transformed. You are now a totally different person from what you used to be. And you will never be the same again. I mean, people who knew you before you believed the gospel simply do not even recognize you now. They cannot believe you're the same person because your life is being lived in an entirely different way. You've undergone drastic reconstruction, and God has done this powerful work within you from the inside out. Friends, the gospel is not merely behavior modification. It's not, I go to church on Sundays. It's not, I sort of changed a couple of bad habits. No, the gospel is the power of God. God blew up your soul and completely changed your life. This is radical. That's the first implication for when God's power explodes within a person who receives and believes the gospel. The person is never the same again. Does this describe your life? If it does not, then you have not received and have not believed the true gospel of God. And sadly, my experience has been that many people going to the churches and listening to Christian radio have not received and have not believed the genuine and true gospel of God. And there's nothing worse than thinking you have received and believed the genuine gospel, only to find out that you have received and believed a false gospel. And that leads me to my next point. But I first want to emphasize that the gospel of God is so powerful that it completely changes lives. That's how you know you have the power of God within you. You're now obedient to God, whereas before you were disobedient. You have a great sensitivity to sin in your life. You are now seeking immediate forgiveness for that sin from God and from the persons you have offended, whereas before, sin didn't even bother you. You are no longer addicted to money, sex, power, food, drugs, and the party-hard lifestyle you once embraced. You joyfully share this gospel with people in your life. You cannot stop talking about all that God has done for you through the gospel. And people are drawn to you because they see that you live a holy life before them. And here's the second implication for when God's power explodes within a person who receives and believes the gospel. You realize that you have not done this for yourself. You have not radically changed your life. God has changed your life. God has done this within you. It's not by your power that you were made holy. It's by God's power that you were made holy. In other words, it is not within your own power to change who you are. I can tell you from personal experience, it is certainly not within my power to change who I am. Rather, it's the power of God in me, the power of God in you that changes us. And this is what millions of people get wrong. Let me tell you what people want to do. They, from within themselves, from their own power, by their own work and effort, want to change their own lives. And people will pursue 1,001 ways for self-improvement before they will come to the end of themselves and realize that the only way to be transformed, the only way to be changed, radically changed, is by the power of God. And the gospel is the power of God, according to Romans 1, verse 16. I want to say more about this tomorrow, but let me ask you, there by your radio, what do you think? Do you think that only the power of God in you can change you? Or do you think that you have the resources already within yourself for change? Many of you are desperate for change. Your life is messy, and maybe you're going through a divorce. Maybe you are still married, but there's no love there. Your heart aches. Perhaps you have a broken relationship with your children, or you are addicted to alcohol, drugs, sex, food, several of these at the same time. Maybe you are in bankruptcy. Maybe you're out of a job, unemployed. Maybe you are frightened of someone around you who has an abusive personality. Maybe you are struggling deeply with depression. Or are you in poor health? Are you lonely? Are you thinking, I need help. I want to change. I require radical transformation. Perhaps you've taken that thought further. I do not know how to change. Or even, I have tried everything and nothing in my life seems to change. My dear friend, oh, how I want you to know that God's power within you will supernaturally change your life. He can and he will drop a stick of his dynamite into your soul and light the fuse. And he is the only one who can do it. And so let's end with this. Receive and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you come back tomorrow and the days that follow, we will continue to learn together about the power of God present in the gospel. Oh, we have so much to cover. So please come back and join me tomorrow, and we will continue to learn together who our great God is.